This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks for being with us. We start the program every week with Brooke Stockburger, the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin. Brooke, good to be back with you.
Yes, sir. Same to you, Fred.
Had a week off last week and enjoyed the week off, but I missed talking with you, as I always do.
Yeah, it felt weird not to be in the studio here talking with you.
That's good to hear. I'm glad you enjoy it, too. We like our regular jobs punching away at the keyboard, but this is fun to get to talk about all of the work that goes into what you do at the Las Cruces Bulletin and your staff. And you had a busy week this week yourself because you were writing one of the lead stories in the Las Cruces Bulletin, a big story for all of us this week, and that is the NMSU athletic director, who he's been there for about a decade, McKinley Boston, will be leaving the university at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's correct. His contract was coming up here in August, so they have extended it, but only to December 31st. So then he'll have to step down, but he's made it very clear that it's not his decision. Mm-hmm. That he's not sure if he'll retire or if he'll continue his career elsewhere. So I got to speak with him a little bit, you know, on Thursday when the decision happened. Wednesday, I guess it was, when the decision happened. And, you know, he just said that they're looking for something different. Didn't give him a whole lot of specifics about why they're going to look for a new guy. Fundraising, though, I guess that is the one big thing. They want someone who's going to be a lot more active, I guess, in fundraising and bringing in the money, which is very important, obviously, especially for an athletics department that has struggled with, you know, finances over the years. And like a lot of athletics departments do, unless you're Alabama or Texas. So, but big news, yeah, he's been here since December 14th of 2004. So by the time he does step down at the New Year's Eve, he'll have been here just a little bit more than a decade. So, and a lot has happened since he's been here, some good, some bad.
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, the press release which announced this did focus on many of the accomplishments and some of the progress, including the academic progress of student athletes. But the sense that you do get from the journalism that's been accomplished over the last week does seem to focus on fundraising. And as you point out, this is an issue really nationally that, you know, unless you have these incredibly successful programs, they are not profit-making ventures. They don't even break even. They lose money, so to speak.
Yeah.
And even at very successful schools, it may only be that one sport makes money, and the other, that sport essentially supports all the other sports,
exactly,
which are, quote-unquote, losing money. And I'm only using that term, and that's why I say quote-unquote, in the sense that a lot of folks say, well, you shouldn't talk about it that way. It's not a business, but you know, there is that aspect of this that if you're spending more than you take in, that builds over time to millions of dollars quickly in something like athletics.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of those schools that has 100,000 fans every week at your football games, and you know Nike is having a really nice deal with you, and TV networks out, you know, Notre Dame has its own, NBC does just Notre Dame games. So you're right. But even at those schools, the, you know, some of the non-revenue sports, as they call them, aren't making money. So
you knew the term, yes, non-revenue sports.
That's exactly. But so a school like NMSU, it's a constant struggle. And luckily they've had people like Stan Fulton who've helped out and, you know, contributed money and donated, which has made a big difference, obviously. But it's still an ongoing, you know, constant thing. And if they feel they need somebody who's better maybe at that or more of their forte is fundraising, then I imagine their national search, which is going to be starting before too long, that'll be a big key for whomever they hire next. But, you know, they've the basketball team's done really well since he's been here. They've had pretty good graduation rates and that sort of thing. The football team has obviously struggled and has had multiple head coaches. And and still no bowl game.
That's right. Everyone's waiting for that. Well, speaking of that, you know, this is another thing in your news section. One of the things that NMSU has decided to spend money on in relation to sports has been artificial turf for the football field, and this is still going in. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it sure is. The game is Thursday at 6 p.m. That's kickoff against Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and they're still working on the field. If from a distance, it looks nice. It looks real nice, very colorful, very green and crimson and that sort of stuff. I went down and walked on the field a little bit on Wednesday, and took a lot of photos and that sort of stuff. And once you get down, and I've been on a lot of artificial turf before, and it just it didn't seem right to me. And then that's when I found out that they still had a lot to do. They have to put all these little pellets. They have 500,000 pounds of pellets. And right now they are currently in the process of putting those on the field and raking them in. That way it makes it feel more like an actual playing surface and
softer.
It's softer,
okay.
And the grass will stand up and everything.
Interesting.
But they plan to have all that done by Monday. So, and you know, the NMSU team can maybe practice on Tuesday or Wednesday, and the game will be ready to go Thursday.
I guess those workers are glad the triple-digit temperatures are over.
Yeah, really.
Gosh, sounds like
they
might
be getting some overtime too. But it's a $1.3 million project. You know, they tore up the turf in May and have been working on it and have had a few delays here and there and everything. So it is kind of a last-minute kind of a thing, but it'll look real nice.
Okay. Well, that's the sports in the news section. Now we move to the sports section. And of course, football season leads off in the sports section. And we're talking not only about football in NMSU, we're talking about high school football, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like we said, the Aggies play Thursday, but so does Las Cruces High, the Bulldogs, who won the state championship last year. They beat Mayfield by 1 point, their rivals. They play Thursday night here in town in the Field of Dreams against Montwood from El Paso. Oñate plays Centennial, another Las Cruces school, on Friday night here at the Field of Dreams. That'll be a lot of fun. My son Tyler plays for Oñate, so just to let that out there a little bit. But I will be unbiased in my reporting. Hobbs plays Mayfield on Saturday, so everything are getting it's getting off and running here a little bit. And, you know, soccer and volleyball and cross country are also started, and we're going to have some more stories on those sports as well.
All the other big sports, and it was kind of neat to read recently all the training that goes into this. It's you know, the training for even high school football, it's truly amazing. I mean, I remember seeing, I believe it was Centennial, these guys were hiking up a mountain, and I think some of them had rocks, and I mean, it was quite something.
Football coaches can be sadistic. As someone who used to play football, I can say that, but it builds character, and it gets you in shape, buddy, that's for sure.
I bet it does. All right. Well, getting our finances in shape is always one of the things that we look at in the business section. And this week, we have a discussion with the new economic development coordinator for the city of Las Cruces, who, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like he has a focus, an international focus, to help improve things in Las Cruces.
Yeah, he does. Gary Camarano is the economic development coordinator for the city of Las Cruces, and he gave his first presentation to the city council just not too long ago. And he, you know, obviously wants to bolster local business. And being close to the border, international trade does bolster local business. But he really does sort of have that view of being very aggressive in reaching out. And international sort of outreach is his forte, as our writer states. And he's worked in Illinois before he came here. And one of the things he did there was sort of a globalization and innovation sort of progress and program and that sort of stuff. So, you know, he helped Illinois coal mining companies and heavy equipment manufacturers and find potential buyers. And that's sort of one thing that's very big here, obviously, is finding. And we'll have sometimes trade missions to Mexico and also gatherings here with Mexican buyers or sellers with their Las Cruces counterparts who are buyers or sellers and that sort of stuff.
It's really not a surprise, I don't think. I mean, you know, recently, Brooke, I know I've read about this. I believe it's called the Borderplex Alliance, and
yes,
this group that really wants to market not El Paso, not Las Cruces, but El Paso, Las Cruces, Juarez, you know,
yes,
as a region.
Sort of we're all one region.
Yeah.
And maybe we should just secede and become the Borderplex.
That's right.
You can run for president. But no, seriously, it is, you know, there are obviously three different areas, New Mexico, Texas, and Mexico, so there is competition there. But they've also seen the benefit of sort of you know, promoting the area together as well and offering, showing what they have to offer here in the area. And hopefully all three will then benefit from that situation.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully with that Union Pacific rail yard, that'll only grow and grow down in Doniana County.
Yeah, that should continue to be huge.
All right. Well, we also have another business update here. Folks who drive down University Avenue are very familiar with some recent additions there near Espina, Jimmy John's and CeCe's Frozen Yogurt. And apparently they go well together because on Loman, west of Roadrunner, the same chains are moving in together there.
Yeah, people get a little excited when these things crop up around town, as you know. And a new building right there on Loman, right next to where the Dunkin' Donuts is located on Loman. That's where it's going up. Probably a lot of people have been watching it grow. And there's going to be a Jimmy John's and a Sweet CC's there. And they're saying they're going to open about mid-September, which isn't that far away, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And both are hiring. Sweet CC's has already brought on some more workers, and Jimmy John's will be hiring soon. And both locations should be bigger than their original first locations. And we'll have a patio facing the Oregon Mountains. So it'll be interesting. Frozen
yeah.
yogurt and sandwiches.
Yeah, and of course, it is an interesting location because right next door is Jason's Deli.
They've got competition
there right next door.
Yeah, kind of
reminds me of Walgreens and CVS. You've got now Jimmy John's and Jason's Deli. Although Jimmy John's, at least on University, and I believe this is a national thing for all of their stores, I do believe this, is that delivery aspect. Because I even see the little cars just like pizza delivery. I see them going around and they deliver.
Yeah,
and
my wife will order them at her school sometimes.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing it's within a certain radius, though.
Yeah, it is.
So
it is,
to get the delivery. So, but anyway, that's coming soon. And when is it again?
Mid-September, they're saying.
Mid-September,
don't have an exact
date, very
they're saying
soon.
Mid-September, just several weeks, actually, that
All
would
right.
be.
We'll look for that. And next weekend, believe it or not, is Labor Day weekend. Yes, Labor Day is September 1st, Monday, September 1st this year. And so Labor Day weekend is next weekend. That's hard to believe. Summer's not really officially over, I guess, but it's officially over if you consider Labor Day summer. And you've got a little rundown in the life section of Labor Day activities.
Yeah, and two of the big ones are the Hatch Chili Fest, obviously. A lot of people go up the road and then, try to get off the exit that's backed up and go enjoy the Hatch Chili Festival, which is always a fun time. And obviously the Harvest Wine Festival that we have every year out at the fairgrounds, which is always well attended as well. And Zach Hansen has a lot of information on both of these that are going on next week. The Harvest Wine Festival will be next Saturday, a week from today, and then also Sunday and Monday on Labor Day itself at the fairgrounds. And tickets will be $20 at the gate, $15 ahead of time if you can order them online. And so it'll be a lot of fun. The Hatch Chili Festival sort of runs on Saturday and Sunday next week. They have a parade and a variety of different things. If anybody's ever been up there, they know there's booths and all kind of stuff going on.
So you got to enjoy that on the weekend, right? Not on Monday then.
That's right. Okay. That's not on Monday. That's just a Saturday, Sunday type of thing.
Okay.
So, but two very colorful events as well. Always a lot of color around. Always very interesting.
And
a lot of different tastes. You have wine in one place, chili in another.
And a little heat. And a little heat too.
A little bit of heat. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And since Zach was busy with the Labor Day preview, he doesn't have the movie review this week, but you have a movie review, and it's one that a lot of folks may be interested in seeing, Get On Up, which is the life of James Brown, right?
Yes, exactly. Richard Calthorpe, our publisher, actually wrote this review. He was so excited to see this movie, but he was unbiased when he went into it with an open mind to review it, and he loved it. He gave it an A. And he says it paints a portrait of a larger-than-life godfather of funk type of thing. And the movie it's really sort of two movies in one. So about James Brown and also about the evolution of funk music.
Wow, pretty cool. All right, and finally this week in the health section, you have news about a support group for children with diabetes. And this, I agree, we talked before we sat down here that this is very interesting. You don't hear about that many support groups for kids. When you think support groups, you think more for adults. But for children, with diabetes, I would imagine this is a very important service. I remember very much reading the autobiography of our Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and a lot of her books, she talks about what it was like when she was a child growing up with diabetes, and you really get a sense for how difficult this is for a young person when they're growing up with diabetes.
Yeah, it really is. And it's so hard to manage even for adults, but mm-hmm. let alone for a child, mm-hmm. Even with help. Yeah. So the Southern New Mexico Diabetes Outreach, they have groups for adults, youth, and children, and that sort of stuff. But it was very interesting that there are groups just specifically for children and youth. Like you said, you don't see that very much. And it's very helpful for them to go and to get information, but also to talk to other people their age who are going through the same thing and sort of feel they're not alone in it.
So for kids, for families that want information on that, you've got it in the story,
yep,
I bet.
Sure do.
Yeah, all right. We'll look for it in the Las Cruces Bulletin this week or LasCrucesBulletin.com, right?
That's right.
See, I'm used to saying it now. I always kind of try to, because I'm so used to saying our own website, KRWG.org, where, by the way, you can always listen to Brooke and myself if you miss it on the radio, that I have to kind of think LasCrucesBulletin.com and not say .org.
Not .org.
I'm so used to .org. Brooke, thanks for